Bad news, Harry. I've just been to see Professor McGonagall about the firebolt. She, got a bit shirty with me. Told me I got my priorities wrong. Seemed to think I cared more about winning the cup than I do about you staying alive. Just because I told her I didn't care if it threw you off, as long as you caught the snitch on it first. Wood shook his head in disbelief. Honestly, the way she was yelling at me, you'd think I'd said something terrible. Then I asked her how much longer she was going to keep it. He screwed up his face and imitated McGonagall's severe voice. As long as necessary, Wood. I reckon it's time you ordered a new broom, Harry. There's an order form at the back of Witch Broomstick. You could get a Nimbus 2001, like Malfoy's got. I'm not buying anything Malfoy thinks is good, said Harry flatly. January faded imperceptibly into February, with no change in the bitterly cold weather. The match against Ravenclaw was drawing nearer and nearer, but Harry still hadn't ordered a new broom. He was now asking Professor McGonagall for news of the firebolt after every transfiguration lesson, Ron standing hopefully at his shoulder, Hermione rushing past with her face averted. "No, Potter, you can't have it back yet," Professor McGonagall told him the 12th time this happened, before he'd even opened his mouth. "We've checked for most of the usual curses, but Professor Flitwick believes the broom might be carrying a hurling hex. I shall tell you once we've finished checking it. Now please, stop badgering me." To make matters even worse, Harry's anti-dementor lessons were not going nearly as well as he had hoped. Several sessions on, he was able to produce an indistinct silvery shadow every time the boggart dementor approached him, but his Patronus was too feeble to drive the dementor away. All it did was hover like a semi-transparent cloud, draining Harry of energy as he fought to keep it there. Harry felt angry with himself, guilty about his secret desire to hear his parents' voices again. "You're expecting too much of yourself," said Professor Lupin sternly in their fourth week of practice. For a 13-year-old wizard, even an indistinct Patronus is a huge achievement. You aren't passing out any more, are you? I thought a Patronus would charge the Dementors down or something, said Harry dispiritedly, make them disappear. The true Patronus does do that, said Lupin, but you've achieved a great deal in a very short space of time. If the Dementors put in an appearance at your next Quidditch match, you will be able to keep them at bay long enough to get back to the ground. You said it's harder if there are loads of them, said Harry. I have complete confidence in you, said Lupin, smiling. Here, you've earned a drink, something from the Three Broomsticks. You won't have tried it before. He pulled two bottles out of his briefcase. Butterbeer, said Harry, without thinking. Yeah, I like that stuff. Lupin raised an eyebrow. "Oh, Ron and Hermione brought me some back from Hogsmeade," Harry lied quickly. "I see," said Lupin, though he still looked slightly suspicious. "Well, let's drink to a Gryffindor victory against Ravenclaw. Not that I'm supposed to take sides as a teacher," he added hastily. They drank the butterbeer in silence, until Harry voiced something he'd been wondering for a while. "What's under a Dementor's hood?" Professor Lupin lowered his bottle thoughtfully. Well, the only people who really know are in no condition to tell us. You see, the Dementor only lowers its hood to use its last and worst weapon. What's that? They call it the Dementor's kiss, said Lupin, with a slightly twisted smile. It's what Dementors do to those they wish to destroy utterly. I suppose there must be some kind of mouth under there, because they clamp their jaws upon the mouth of the victim and suck out his soul. Harry accidentally spat out a bit of butterbeer. What, they kill? Oh, no, said Lupin. Much worse than that. You can exist without your soul, you know, as long as your brain and heart are still working. But you'll have no sense of self any more, no memory, no anything. There's no chance at all of recovery. You'll just exist as an empty shell, and your soul is gone forever. Lost. Lupin drank a little more butterbeer, then said, It's the fate that awaits Sirius Black. It was in the Daily Prophet this morning. The Ministry have given the Dementors permission to perform it if they find him. Harry sat stunned for a moment at the idea of someone having their soul sucked out through their mouth. But then he thought of Black. "He deserves it," he said suddenly.
"You think so?" said Lupin lightly. "Do you really think anyone deserves that?"
"Yes," said Harry defiantly. For some things." He would like to have told Lupin about the conversation he'd overheard about Black in the Three Broomsticks, about Black betraying his mother and father, but it would have involved revealing that he'd gone to Hogsmeade without permission, and he knew Lupin wouldn't be very impressed by that. So he finished his butterbeer, thanked Lupin, and left the History of Magic classroom. Harry half wished that he hadn't asked what was under a Dementor's hood. The answer had been so horrible, and he was so lost in unpleasant thoughts of what it would feel like to have your soul sucked out of you, that he walked headlong into Professor McGonagall halfway up the stairs.
"Do watch where you're going, Potter."
"Sorry, Professor."
"I've just been looking for you in the Gryffindor common room. Well, here it is. We've done everything we could think of, and there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with it at all. You've got a very good friend somewhere, Potter."